the day of Christ. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1, verse 7. These are the same event. The day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, is the blessed hope of the Christian Church. It is the coming of the kingdom of God to the earth, that which was preached by John the Baptist, by Jesus of Nazareth, and by the apostles of the Lamb. Jesus is coming again. The coming of the Lord is a multi-stage, complex event, but in this booklet we are speaking particularly of Christ's return in glory, the day of resurrection, of redemption, the promised worldwide revelation of Christ to set up his kingdom upon this earth. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians concerning the return of Christ, the day of the resurrection of the saints. The following are the terms which Paul employed. The coming of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. The day of the Lord, 5, verse 2. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, 5, verse 23. The presence of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. The day of Christ, 2, verse 2. The brightness of his coming, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Paul is teaching the saints in Thessalonica concerning the return of Jesus Christ to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Other passages of Scripture which announce the same event are as follows. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21, verse 28. Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1, 11. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1, verse 7. In order to gain an accurate picture of the day of Christ, we have to study the pertinent passages in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul has much to say on the subject in his two letters to the Church of the Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Not ignorant. Paul is writing in order to add to their understanding. Concerning them which are asleep. The subject of the passage immediately under discussion is Christians who have died physically and the comforting of the surviving Christians, relatives, friends, and so forth. Physical death is spoken of as sleep. The spirit and soul of the believer are in heaven, but the body is asleep in the ground, awaiting the day of Christ, the day of resurrection, the day of redemption. Physical death is not a true death. The human being who is without Jesus Christ truly is dead. The person who is living in pleasure truly is dead. The individual who is cast into the lake of fire is in the second death. But physical death is not a true death, for he who lives and believes in Jesus Christ shall never die. Do we believe this? And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Mark 5, verse 39. The righteous dead will be awakened from their sleep in the ground. Therefore, we do not grieve excessively over the death of our saved loved ones. We know that we shall see them again. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah 26, verse 19. We yet shall hear the dead singing. That ye sorrow not. We who are Christians do not wail in anguish when a relative or friend goes to be with Christ. We know that our deceased loved one has been gathered to his people in heaven, old acquaintances having been renewed there, and our relationship with him or her will be restored fully and wonderfully in the future. Even as others which have no hope. How bleak is the outlook of the unsaved. A mother or father or son dies, and that is the end. It appears that the deceased has vanished into oblivion. To have no hope beyond this present world is to be bound horribly by the fear of death. Some Christian people live in the flesh to such an extent that they nearly are as afraid of death as are the unsaved. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, our hope of being reunited with our dead loved ones is based solidly upon the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he returned to life as a real identifiable person, able to eat the fish and the honeycomb, being solid flesh and bone, we know beyond all doubt that we will see our dead again as living, identifiable, joyous individuals. Them also which sleep in Jesus. What does it mean to sleep in Jesus? It means to die physically while one is walking in the Lord. If we die physically while we are not abiding in Christ, we are not sleeping in Jesus. It is one matter to accept Christ in the sense of assenting to a theologically correct concept of Jesus as the Lord and Savior of men. It is another matter to accept Christ truly and to live and walk in him in the Spirit of God. The parable of the 10 virgins is a warning to us concerning the day of Christ. Each of the 10 was a virgin, that is, a Christian. Each had her lamp, her testimony concerning the truth of Jesus Christ. But only 5 had sufficient oil. Only these 5 went in with the bridegroom to the marriage. To be sleeping in Jesus is to have not only the lamp, but also the oil which keeps the lamp shining. Apart from the oil, the lamp will not shine. The letter without the spirit kills. It is our point of view that those who are sleeping in Jesus consist not only of the saints of the New Covenant, but also the saints of the Old Covenant. All will come forth in the day of Christ. But how could the saints of the Old Covenant be saved in Christ? It is possible because the gospel was preached to them in the spirit world. For this cause, in order that all might be judged on the same basis, was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit, 1 Peter 4, verse 6. That the Old Covenant saints will appear with the New Covenant saints was demonstrated upon the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration was a preview of the day of Christ. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 28. 6 days after stating this, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain, the preview of the coming of the kingdom of God, which is the day of Christ, included Jesus, Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John. This is why we believe that those who sleep in Jesus include the saints of both covenants. Another interesting episode concerning the Old Covenant saints took place at the time of Christ's resurrection, when many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and appeared unto many people in Jerusalem. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. It is the saints, the holy ones, both of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, who will be raised in the day of Christ. This does not include the lukewarm, casual professors of Christ. They may subscribe to correct doctrine, but they will not be raised in the day of Christ, because there is not enough eternal life dwelling in them. It is the army of Christ which is going to be raised, because the day of Christ is the time of the battle of Armageddon. Will God bring with Him? This is the return of the saints in glory, spoken of so many times in the Scriptures. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 4. Who will see the saints when they appear with Christ? Everyone will see them, and seeing, the world will believe. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed, in that day, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. The nations of the earth will behold the glory of God in Christ, in the saints, and they will believe that God has sent Jesus Christ. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. John 17, verse 21. When the sons of God are revealed together with Christ, the creation will be set free from the bondage of corruption. For the earnest expectation of the creature, creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8, verse 19. The day of Christ is the day of resurrection of the saints. It is the raising from the dead of God's army. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Ezekiel 37, verse 10. The army of Christ will accompany Christ at His coming. The saints will execute the divine judgment upon all sinners, human and angelic. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Jude, verses 14 and 15. This is the time of the taking of the kingdom of God by the saints. God will permit Antichrist to make war against the saints and to overcome them. But Antichrist will be destroyed by the appearing of Christ with the saints, descending from heaven to take over the rulership of the world. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Daniel 7, verses 21 and 22. At their appearing, the soldiers of Christ will be riding God's war horses, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19, verse 14. It is a very great honor to be chosen to return with Jesus Christ in the day of the Lord. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17, verse 14. Even the Lord's own people will tremble when they behold the fierceness and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ when he appears from heaven with his army. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk 3, verse 16. When the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven and enters into the clouds, he will shout for the battle. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2, verse 11. All who have died in Christ, in the Lord, from the beginning of the creation of mankind to the time of his appearing, will return with the Lord Jesus to set up the kingdom of God upon the earth. Many of those who will return, such as Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, Malachi, John the Baptist, Paul, Peter, and multitudes of saints whose names we do not know, have been dead for hundreds or thousands of years. They are very familiar with the ways of heaven, but their bodies still are sleeping in the ground. What have they been doing while they are with Jesus Christ in heaven? They have been planning with him the setting up of the kingdom of God upon the earth. The establishing of the kingdom of God upon the earth will require a very carefully planned military campaign and numerous political considerations and decisions. After the Battle of Armageddon has been concluded, the assigned rulers and governors will be dispersed with angel guards through every nation, village, and tribe upon the earth. Every saint will know precisely what to do. Zion is being prepared for battle and for the rule of God in the earth. When Jesus appears in the day of Christ, these kings, governors, rulers, priests, generals, angel warriors, executives, counselors, and so forth, will descend from heaven with him. Many of these dignitaries are so endued with divine glory that they are as great mountains of fire, huge weights of glory which will make the sun by comparison seem as a flickering candle. God's kings and priests are returning to earth to bring forth their own bodies from the grave, and then to confront those who, as was true in their own day, are attempting to work wickedness and rebellion in the earth. This will be a frightful hour for the sinners in the earth, including the Christians who have the mark of the beast in their head or in their hand. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. By the word of the Lord. The Spirit of God was abiding so heavily upon Paul as he was writing these words that he was speaking as the very oracle of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. The expression, the coming of the Lord, clearly identifies the passage which we are studying. The coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the day of redemption, is taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the time when the kingdom of God comes to the earth, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Both Jesus and Paul taught us very, very clearly that great tribulation will take place upon the earth, and Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will be revealed before the Lord returns to save us. To teach that Christ will return before the period of tribulation, before the man of lawlessness is revealed, and to divide the body of Christ into Gentile and Jew, after it has been made one in Christ, is to blatantly disregard the written word of God concerning these events and premises. There will be saints, a remnant of believers, who by the grace of God and through their own life of prayer, holiness, and obedience, will escape the dangers and deceptions of the last days, and will stand before Christ, filled with His Spirit and blessing, alive upon the earth in the day of Christ. The perils of the tribulation period will be so very, very great that there is a danger of the total destruction of mankind. But God's elect, His saints, will be crying out to Him from the earth. Therefore, God will shorten the days of the great tribulation. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24, verse 22. We understand that there will be a remnant of believers who will survive the great tribulation period, including the worldwide reign of Antichrist. They will worship God and testify of Him all through the days of trouble, although their sphere of influence will be cut back greatly during the last 3.5 years, and will be alive upon the earth when the Lord returns. Notice in Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30, that Jesus Christ Himself declares that His return to earth will take place after the tribulation of those days. Those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be Christians of great faith and perseverance, filled with the eternal life of Jesus Christ. They will be able to be changed from mortality into immortality while standing upon their feet. It is true also that there will be a great multitude of Laodicean Christians when the Lord returns. They will not go forth with Him to the wedding. They will be vomited from His mouth in that day. If we hope to stand in the midst of the satanic darkness, which even today is deceiving God's people, we must give ourselves to the greatest diligence in prayer. We must shun the drunkenness and cares of the material culture in which we are attempting to survive spiritually. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day, the day of Christ, come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. Even today a multitude of believers have not been able to stand against the encroachment of spiritual darkness. They have been snared already. Antichrist already has overcome a great number of believers by means of covetousness and the cares of this life. Although they have assented to the four steps of salvation, they have fallen. They have fallen before Antichrist because they have not been watching and praying with utmost diligence. Christ promised the overcomers of the church in Philadelphia that He would guard them from the hour of temptation. But in order thus to be guarded, they must guard the word of Christ's patience. They must be faithful unto death throughout the days of testing. Because thou hast kept, guarded, the word of my patience, I also will keep, guard, thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Revelation 3, verse 10. The key word is patience. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, verse 9. The world is hurtling toward total demon possession. Mankind is rebelling against all authority, including God's authority. The supreme goal is to make people happy. People love themselves. Money, pleasure, lust, violence, and witchcraft are in the ascendancy. It requires very great patience in prayer and waiting upon the Lord's will if we are to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Many Christians have given way to the flesh. The churches are filled with entertainment, lust, the love of money. The ministers of the Lord compete with one another for the largest congregations, the finest buildings. They speak so as to please their listeners. A faithful few keep before the Lord, patiently obeying His word and waiting for Him to reveal the true nature of these synagogues of Satan. We can stand in Christ today, if we so desire, but not without unceasing prayer and self-denial. If we are willing to forsake our own life, take up our cross, and follow Christ, then we will not be deceived. The love of the majority, including the majority of believers, will grow cold in the last days, but there will be a remnant of saints who will be alive upon the earth at the coming of the Lord. Shall not prevent, precede, have an advantage over, them which are asleep. The remnant who are alive upon the earth at the coming of the Lord will not enter into the kingdom of God ahead of those saints who previously have fallen asleep in Jesus. The saints in Thessalonica were expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ to set up His kingdom upon the earth. While they were waiting for Christ's return, some of the members died. This caused concern on the part of the remainder of the church. The believers were worried and sorrowful, thinking that the deceased brothers and sisters would not be present to witness the glorious return of the Lord, that they were gone and would not be seen again. It is true that the saints in heaven cannot be made perfect apart from us. But it also is true that we who are alive and remain unto Jesus' return to earth shall not enter into the kingdom of God ahead of the saints of past generations. All of God's elect shall enter into the kingdom at the same time. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. This is the coming of the Lord, spoken of in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can see that He will come down from heaven to the level of the clouds, to the area from which the earth is polluted by fallen angels who, though bound in chains of darkness, are expressing their nature in mankind. Christ will stop for a season in the clouds while the members of His army descend in the Spirit and take up their bodies from the ground. Then His army will return to be gathered about Him. His soldiers now will be in their redeemed bodies. Then Christ will proceed downward until His feet touch the Mount of Olives on the very spot from which He ascended. His mighty men wait for His command. He sends them to Armageddon, there to crush the forces of Antichrist. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle. And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Zechariah 14, verses 3 through 5. With a shout. This is a word of command, a shout of battle. It is the voice of the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, at the head of His troops. And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. Joel 2, verse 11. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. Joel 3, verse 16. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against His enemies. Isaiah 42, verse 13. With the voice of the archangel. The archangel is Michael, the leader of the warrior angels. Whenever there is a battle against the Lord's enemies, there must be two armies, Mahanaim. There must be the army of saints, and then there must be the army of angels. Joshua found that as soon as he would cross over Jordan and invade the land of promise, he first must encounter the leader of the army of angels. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the army of angels appeared in order to pay homage to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. The saints must overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by loving not their lives unto the death. But it is the army of angels commanded by the archangel, Michael, which wages war in the spiritual realm. With the trumpet of God, this is the kingdom-wide fulfillment of the Old Testament Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet of God announces the coming of the King, the beginning of the Battle of Armageddon and the Year of Jubilee, the setting free of all of the prisoners held by Satan. This is the last trumpet of which Paul spoke. It is the seventh trumpet, the time of the resurrection of the dead and of the establishing of the kingdom of God, the rule of God, upon the earth. Here at last is the blessed hope of the church. It is the day of the Lord, the resurrection from the dead, the day of redemption unto which all Christians have been sealed, the spiritual fulfillment of the year of Jubilee. The Lord Jesus and all of his apostles pointed toward this day. It is the coming of the kingdom of God to the earth. This is the return of the Lord Jesus, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1, verse 11. This is the time when every eye shall see him. Revelation 1, verse 7. This is the moment when we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. This is the hour of the gathering together of Christ's elect from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24, verse 31. This is the day of the Lord spoken of by the Hebrew prophets. Jesus Christ will descend from heaven. Christ will shout for the battle. The archangel Michael will command the army of angels. The trumpet of God will announce the day of Christ, and the dead in Christ will rise first. No man took Jesus Christ's life from him. Although he was slain at the hands of wicked men, in actuality he laid his body down and took it up again. Now he is permitting his saints, the soldiers of his army, to go down in spiritual form to their bodies sleeping in the ground and to take them up again. The term rise, as used in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, does not mean to ascend. It means to rise in resurrection life, just as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. This is the point at which the dead bodies of the saints come forth from the grave and stand upon the surface of the earth. The Lord Jesus did not ascend into heaven until 40 days after he rose from the dead. There is an exceedingly great difference between resurrection and ascension. Resurrection is one of the mightiest of the acts of divine redemption. It is the destruction of the last enemy, physical death. Resurrection, the redemption of our mortal body, marks our adoption as sons of God. We are declared to be sons of God by the resurrection from the dead. Ascension from the surface of the earth into the clouds of the sky is a relatively insignificant event. After we have been raised from the dead, all things are possible. It is not true, as some have supposed, that we ascend from the earth in order to escape Antichrist or to escape tribulation. Once we have been raised from the dead, we have conquered Antichrist and all other power that the world has to harm us. No further victory is necessary for us personally. We ascend into the clouds in order to be with Jesus Christ, not in order to escape Antichrist. The escape from the sufferings of this world comes to the saint by means of physical death, not by means of the resurrection from the dead. Since there were 40 days after which Christ was resurrected and before he ascended to his Father in heaven, it seems likely that we will enjoy a period of time after we have been raised and before we ascend to meet the Lord in the air. It is not clear from the Scriptures exactly what will transpire during the period of time between the appearing of Christ in the air and the ascension of the saints to meet him in the clouds, but it is clear that there will be an interval of time between the sounding of the trumpet of God and the ascension of the Lord's army to meet him in the clouds. The believers who are alive upon the earth at the time of the Lord's return have very important decisions to make if they would be saved. Some of the Lord's parables concern those Christians who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Let us look at the events of the day of the Lord in order to pinpoint the period of time and the group of people of which we are speaking. 1. The shout of command. 2. The voice of the archangel. 3. The trumpet of God. 4. The dead in Christ come forth from their graves. 5. The living saints are changed in a moment from mortality into immortality. 6. All of God's elect are caught away in clouds to meet Christ in the air. 7. Sudden destruction falls upon the world government of Antichrist. 8. The battle of Armageddon results in the destruction of Antichrist. 9. Jesus Christ sits upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. 10. The millennial rule of Christ and the saints commences. Now, let us go back to item 3. After the trumpet of God sounds, and before the living believers are changed into immortality and caught away with all of the elect to join the slain Lamb in the clouds, the Lord spoke to us about the following. 1. Living the Spirit-filled life in preparation, the 10 virgins. 2. Not looking back, covetousness, entanglement with the world. Remember Lot's wife. 3. Selectivity, based upon our abiding in Christ. 2 shall be at the mill. If a believer who is alive upon the earth at the return of Jesus Christ is to be successful in being changed and caught up with the resurrected army, he or she must pass the test of prior preparation, the test of entanglement, and the test of abiding in Christ. Failure in one of these areas will result in the inability to respond to the summons of Christ. The Lord Jesus warned us in the parable of the 10 virgins to keep ourselves ready and prepared for the sudden appearing of the Lord from heaven. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Matthew 25, verses 6 and 7. After the trimming of the lamps, there followed a discussion concerning oil. It is obvious that the announcement of the Lord's coming will necessitate decision-making and action upon the part of the Lord's people. In the above instance, some of the believers were not able to go to be with the Lord. The lamp represents the Christian testimony, the Word of God. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. At no time in the Gospel accounts does the Lord Jesus raise the question of doctrine when discussing his coming. He discusses the use of talents, how we treat our fellow servants, giving a cup of water, but not doctrine. We stress doctrine. God stresses character. But oil is important in the day of Christ. That we be filled with the Spirit of God is critically important. One time the present writer asked the Lord why he would not be allowed to share his oil with the needy in the day of the Lord. The Lord seemed to reply that we would have none to spare, only enough for ourselves. The righteous scarcely are saved. In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul reveals to us why oil is so critically important in the day of Christ. We Christians possess a physical body which is dead because of the sin which resides in it. But God already has placed within us the Spirit of life, which, in the day of Christ, will raise us from the dead. We have a dead body, but within us is the Spirit of the resurrection. If we choose to put to death the deeds of our body, the resurrection life within us will be powerfully present, awaiting only the trumpet of God to make alive our mortal body. But if we choose to live in the flesh, living according to the desires of our flesh and carnal mind, the resurrection life within us will decrease in vitality until it is present in minimal amount or not present at all. We still have our Christian testimony, but the resurrection life has gone out of us. When the trumpet of God sounds, there will be no response from within us. We will understand, because of our knowledge of the Word of God, what is taking place, but we will find to our utter terror that there is no eternal life rising up from within us. Now will Satan turn upon us and mock us, because he has been successful in causing us to believe that we can be involved in the prosperity of this world's culture and still be a servant of Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord will come as a snare upon all who are living upon the earth at that time, including the believers, those Christians who have allowed the love of this world to interfere with their sowing to the life of the Spirit of God, will not have the inner power to enable them to join together with the elect who have been raised from the dead. It is not possible to be entangled with the things of this world, as so many Christians are today, and then respond successfully to the trumpet of God in the day of Christ. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Luke 17, verses 30 through 33. When the Lord appears and the dead are raised, we who are alive and remain will be summoned by the Lord's power and his angels to join ourselves with those who have been resurrected. If we have been living in the world, our heart being all entangled in things, in circumstances, and in relationships, we will not be able to respond. We will delay while we are attempting to tear ourselves loose from our material entanglements. That delay will prove to be fatal. Lot, his wife, and his two daughters were taken out of Sodom by the angels of God. But before they reached safety, Lot's wife looked back. Lot's wife had left Sodom in her body, but not in her heart. She was out of Sodom, but Sodom was not out of her. Thus, she was destroyed. So will it be when Christ returns. Christians all over the world will be summoned by the Spirit to join themselves with those who have been raised from the dead, so that all may be lifted up to meet the Lord in the air. But each believer will have to respond in faith, or else he or she will be destroyed with the world. We may imagine that it will be easy to respond to Christ's word of command in that day. It will be easy to respond if, like the Apostle Paul, we have turned aside from everything in life in order that we might attain to the resurrection from the dead. But for the lukewarm believers, it will be extremely difficult, and in numerous instances, utterly impossible to respond to the trumpet of the day of resurrection. For the Christian who is entangled in the affairs of this world, it will be impossible to go forth to meet Christ. The conduct of Lot's wife, who was yearning after her home and sons-in-law, proves that such is the case. We may imagine that it will be easy to go to meet Christ, leaving behind all that we hold dear, not giving a second thought to our home, our possessions, our valuables, our loved ones, and acquaintances. For those entangled in this world, it will be utterly impossible. Christ asks us to forsake all today, to lose our life for his sake today. If we find it difficult to leave all now, let us realize that it will be infinitely more difficult to drop everything and go to meet Christ when he appears. Our conduct now is the index of what we will do then. Only those who are leading a totally committed life now will possess the faith and determination, the abandonment of flesh and blood existence, which will be immediately and directly required when the trumpet of God sounds, and even they scarcely will be saved. The day of Christ is the great and terrible day of the Lord, of which Malachi and the other prophets spoke. It is not a day of lightness and pleasantries. It is the most terrifying day in the entire history of the creation. It is the day of God's wrath. One of the reasons why it will be so difficult to go to Christ in the day of the Lord is that there will be a tremendous weight of spiritual oppression pressing upon mankind at that time as the result of the rule of Antichrist. Antichrist will have spiritual as well as material authority and power. he will be able to make it very difficult to pray. Some believers find it difficult to leave all and follow Christ today, but it will be much more difficult in the days to come. Please turn the tape over and continue.